Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Get your cell phones.
I never meant to cause you any problems. I never meant to cause you any pain.
Got my life in there. America, what y'all know about that?
I didn't want to one time see you laughing, babe. Only want to see you.
I had to do it one time for us, y'all. Sorry, the audio is, I don't know why it's playing like that out here, but no niggas words needed, really. Had to start us off with a little Prince there. Rest in peace, that way too young at 57. Somebody go get the bubble wrapped out for Stevie Wonder, because he all we got left, y'all. I'm just saying, he's all we got left. You're now tuned into the Tony Sports with the 12th man. It is April 25th.
I'll be going to see Stevie Wonder this Saturday.
There it is,
really?
Man. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Very nice. This is our April 25th edition. We're getting ready here for the draft in a couple of days. I know my partners are absolutely ready and stoked to talk about it. So am I. Without further ado, I'll let you introduce them. Make sure that, you know, the floor is wiped off so we don't get any sprained MCLs while we do the show. I'm going to kick it to my man, Andre Peterson. What's going on, bro?
Hey, man, it's your world, man. We're just paying rent, man. So what's going on, man?
And as always, I got my – go ahead.
No, I was laughing. Go ahead, man. Saw you.
Yeah, I got my man, New Orleans Saints, who's actually in enemy territory today. I see you here in the ATL. My man, Rob Ford. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, you know, I had to come sneak in town, you know, sneak into the Falcons' war room, see what they're playing for the draft. also, you know, see how long the Braves are going to take to rebuild and see if the Hawks are going to pull out the series against the Celtics. So I had to come sneak into town.
See he's just like – just letting off just unwarranted shots. You see how he do? Ooh, just so disrespectful.
That's what he does.
Oh, so disrespectful.
Hey, I'm saying I didn't take a shot. I said I came to see if the Hawks going to beat the Celtics. I'm actually rooting for them.
I was talking about the Braves comment, but I'm not a Braves fan, so, you know, I'm just going to laugh at it. before we get into it, I want to make sure that people can reach us and find us here in social media. As always, you can call us at 424-243-9519. You can find us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. And if you go on Facebook, you can find us at 12th Man Sports as well, or by searching Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Now that I brought everybody down with a little Prince tribute, I'm sorry, you know, starting off a sports podcast, what's better than bringing in with Prince at the Super Bowl, right? So had to do it. But I'm going to throw this one here to my man, Rob, because we know, if you've been listening at all, how he feels about the NFL, and namely Roger Goodell. So we found out today that Brady's suspension has been upheld, which I'm not really surprised that if you've been, you know, reading the tea leaves, so to speak, they weren't really happy with him about destroying the cell phone. So, Rob, give us what you got on this, man.
Well, this is actually a win for Roger Goodell. And obviously Tom Brady throwing out the information off his cell phone, as JQ just mentioned, has come back to haunt him. And obviously I don't know if Tom Brady's going to go through another appeal process, which he can, but it's going to be very costly for him to go through another appeal process. So it's going to be very interesting to see if he does go through the process. But obviously the the U.S. Court of Appeals thought there was enough evidence to upheld the four-game suspension. So as far as legal battles go, this is probably the first win for Roger Goodell. And so we'll have to wait and see what happens. I know for there are a lot of Patriots haters out there, so I know there are a lot of Patriots haters that are celebrating this particular move. I'm very curious to see if Tom Brady's willing to pay the price to continue to fight this. But now, of course, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But it's definitely a win for Roger Goodell. I'm willing to admit that.
We got to get that. We got to get that audio clip. I got to pull that one. So I agree with Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
But Dre,
add that one to the Les Miles clip.
Yeah, man, we're going to get you a string. So Dre, to his point, just to take it to a little separate direction, do you think this is the point where Brady just has to man up and take his lumps, or do you think he should continue to fight this battle and go uphill and go another round?
Yeah, man, I think he's going to fight it, man. Definitely. Like I said, because, the NFL Players Association, they weren't happy with that because, obviously, what we talked about, Robert's kind of mission, even though it's a win for Goodell, the whole reason why they fought it was because he was kind of acting as a judge, executioner, everything, too. So, he's got, a lot of backing, and I kind of think that he's going to pursue this, honestly. So, we'll see, but that's kind of my opinions on that.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's come too far now. And, it's not like he doesn't got the money. He can always ask Giselle for a loan if need be. She's got a little bit more money than he's got. I think he lost in the court of public opinion. There's a lot of Patriots haters out there. But in the court of public opinion, when his text messages just rose exponentially with the equipment guys after not really talking to him as much and then destroying the cell phone, I think if you're not just a Patriots fan, even though the NFL, I think, bungled it, and we talked about it ad nauseum, along with that investigation with the Wells report, I think he's lost the court of public opinion outside of Patriots fans. So it's interesting to see where this goes from here. I'm sure he's going to file an appeal because that's just the plan they've been on. So switching gears here a little bit, Rob, I don't know exactly how far you want to take this next one, so I'm going to throw it to you, what you were thinking for the our draft coverage here. So shout out to draft starting Thursday night. I think it's 8 o'clock? 7, 8 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, if I'm not mistaken, or 7 Eastern, 6 Central. I'm not sure. Somewhere in that ballpark. I'm sure our listeners, our avid NFL fans, will definitely find the right time for the draft. But I do have a few notes. I don't know if you guys have seen some of the posts. I actually posted up to 3 rounds of a mock draft on our Talking Sports site. And before the draft, you have all 7 rounds posted on our site. So for you avid draft nerds, there should be some good information for you guys to get into for our listeners. I'll start off with our teams like I always do. Then I'll start with some teams toward the end of the draft and end of the draft first round, and we can kind of go from there. I'll start with the hated Atlanta Falcons. So my buddy, he might be interested in this. And with the first round, Atlanta Falcons, I have taken Darren Lee, outside linebacker, Ohio State. Second round, Bronson Kufusi, defensive end, BYU. Third round, Jalen Mills, defensive back, LSU, can play corner or safety. And fourth round, have the Falcons taken Graham Glasgow, center from Michigan. I have the Falcons taken in the first 4 rounds. I'll start off with my buddy JQ and Cincinnati Bengals. Let's see who I have the Bengals taken here. Yeah, I got a lot of draft notes all over the place, people. Sorry about
that. Carry-on must have been heavy.
Say what?
I said that carry-on must have been heavy.
Yeah.
He's like Mel Kiper over here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I tell you, I got some notes. All right, let's go to the Bengals here, and then we'll get to the teams toward the end of the first round. A'shaun Robinson, first round. Of course, Marvin Lewis says they desperately need help to help with Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. A'shaun Robinson can help them up front. Vaughn Bell, safety, Ohio State, second round. Check this out. Third round pick. A lot of Bengals may be upset about this. Kicker, Roberto Ogawa.
Oh,
no, bro. No,
there's
bro.
Concerned with
no.
the Bengals with Mike Nugent. And so check that out
man.
In third round. Fourth round, Paul Perkins, running back, UCLA. That's the Cincinnati Bengals. Then I'll get to my beloved New Orleans Saints.
Beloved.
I'm gonna walk out and drop. I'm gonna turn the TV off to drop the kicker. I'm gonna promptly turn the TV off.
Oh man, you really be ready to fire Marvin Lewis, then, right?
Man, listen.
All right, Saints first round: Leonard Floyd, pass rusher. First round, second round: big defensive tackle Kenny Clark from UCLA. Third round: C.J. Precise. Running back, Notre Dame. Fourth round, offensive guard, Connor McGovern from Missouri. That's what we're looking at for the Saints. And then we can talk about the latter part of the first round here. Seattle, 26, Robert Nkimche. Green Bay, Vernon Butler, defensive tackle, Louisiana Tech. Kansas City, Josh Doctson, wide receiver, TCU. Carolina, having them moving up a little bit to take Will Fuller, wide receiver from Notre Dame. Arizona, Kendall Fuller, cornerback, Virginia Tech. Denver, Jermaine Ifedi, offensive tackle, Texas A&M. So
man, Rob's been hanging out with Johnny Manziel. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna give you first crack at that, Dre. I'm gonna give you first crack at that with those last picks in the first round and what he's got paying for your Falcons.
I gotta say, Rob, I always give you a hard time, but I do appreciate your efforts. So I'm not gonna
absolutely
like beat you up to that, man. Because I give you credit because it's a lot to sit there and make a lot of draft notes, and you always do a good job of that too. So that's my kudos to you. Just a couple of things here specifically about the Falcons, and I know we're kind of going a lot of different directions too. I'm kind of going back and forth between Darren Lee and Reggie Ragland. I'd love to get your thoughts about that, J.Q. Washington, because I keep hearing, he's kind of light and he's got speed, but I don't know if he's kind of if he's going to be that much of a difference maker from my vantage point. So, we're trying to get fast, physical, all that fun stuff. I just keep hearing he's not really going to take him on blocks, and I think he's just fast. We need like a Luke Kuechly type of clip player. Not sure if he's in that mold. I love the second round pick.
Luke
Kuechly
don't grow
yeah.
on trees, though.
They don't. I'm just telling it. I'm just saying. Wasn't somebody comparing Darren Lee to like a Ray Lewis or something crazy like that, or was that Reggie Ragland?
No,
somebody was like, go ahead, Rob. So I heard that too. But yeah, somebody was talking about that.
Obviously, JQ's probably watched definitely more Ohio State games than I have, but based on my reviews of him, he's got great sideline to sideline speed. He's got great instincts. He doesn't make any bad decisions on the football field, so he's very cerebral as a football player as well. I think upside for him, he has a capability of being a Derek Brooks kind of weak side linebacker. He's better suited for the 4-3 than he is for the 3-4. So if you're running a 4-3, he's better suited for the weak side. I think, best case scenario, he can turn out to be a Derek Brooks kind of player.
I'll take that in a heartbeat. I've heard some, and I'll get that quote for you guys. I don't want to spend too much time. That's somebody actually said that. I was like, whoa, but, that's too much to say. But just from that vantage point, everything else, I like your second-round pick, even though hopefully we can get him in the third, because I think we like a safety, whether it's your boy from Florida, Kenshaw Neal. I can't think of his name right now, too. But we'll keep that
Keanu
in mind.
Neal. I haven't gone in the second round
yeah,
of Jacksonville
Keanu,
right
yeah.
now.
That's the person, or I even like a Sue Cravens, one of those cats. That's kind of who I'm thinking of as far as that. I'd love to get my Okufi, whatever cat's name, from BYU in the third round. But we'll see. That's kind of me, and then I'll let you talk, JQ, because I wanted to talk about, the top four, because I don't think that Dallas is going to go Jalen Ramsey. I think they're going to go with Ezekiel Elliott at number four, if you will. So that's kind of my thoughts as far as that. But good draft, Zaylis, and I appreciate you, and I like Vernon Hargreaves going to Tampa Bay, if you will, and we'll see how that plays out as far as the couple of draft moves. And, man, Philadelphia, man, we talk about that too. Go ahead, JQ.
Oh, so many things, so many things. I very rarely disagree with Rob, but I might disagree with him on almost all of that one. I think Darren Lee's combine shot him up further than he should really go. The year that we won the championship game, Ohio State, that is, he is when he really started to blossom and he was destroying people. This past year, he's trying to have his speed make up for sometimes bad technique where he's hitting big, but he's not wrapping up. I think, like you say, he's too light in the butt to play in the middle. I think his best suited as a hybrid linebacker safety, kind of like I said, Deion Buchanan from Arizona, where he can, you know, kind of slide down and then back out because of speed. He can cover really well. I have concerns with Ragland for Atlanta 17 as well, just because I don't believe Ragland is a three-down player. And at the 17th pick in the first round, I need that guy to be on the field for three downs as my linebacker. He's fantastic against the run, but his coverage is not that great if you look at the tape. He's run a little better at the combine and the pro day, but I'm going to go a little bit more off the tape of what I've seen from him. So I could envision him dropping, but that's just me. I don't want to take somebody at 17 that has to take off the field on third down. Moving over to my Bengals and with your draft, I will set fire to all my Bengals clothes if they draft a kicker. I don't care. I don't care how good that dude is. We ain't draft a kicker in the third round. I mean, come on. And then the Petra Shores, I don't think there's any way that Josh Dotson gets past the Bengals. And I don't think Will Fuller gets past Houston. I think Houston likes Fuller as a deep threat opposite Hopkins. And the Bengals love a big wide receiver, and that's what Dotson is, to play on the opposite side of A.J. Green. So that piece there, I don't think Dotson flies past him. In the perfect world, they would love for Treadwell to fall to him, but I don't think that's going to happen because you got a needy wide receiver team in Detroit and Minnesota and Houston before you get to Cincinnati. I can see them taking a defensive tackle. I wouldn't want them to because I think this draft, if it's deep on one thing, it's deep on defensive tackles. I would like Ryan Kelly from Alabama. Most of Bodine is not the answer for Cincinnati at center. He just isn't. He's clearly the weakest link on our line. And if you watch Cincinnati, if you see one of those cornerbacks fall, like a McKenzie Alexander or a William Jackson III from Houston, don't be surprised if Cincinnati snatches up because a lot of times they go best player there because they're not at that range at 24. And I'm surprised it's the Saints because everything I've seen has them taking Rankins. But, I mean, I think yours is also good as well. Yeah, I think it's going to be defensive line either way it goes. So, not to take up too much more time, but that's just kind of where I was with it.
Yeah, I'll just make a few comments on it. Yeah, I would not be upset if the Saints take Rankins at 12. Right now I have them going 16 to Detroit, so it's just a few slots lower. I mean, I wouldn't be upset. Ezekiel Elliott, I tell you, he's a very mystery of this draft. I know Andre mentioned he can go as high as number 4. I can see him going all the way down to number 11 to Chicago as well. And so it's going to be very intriguing. I think most people thought he would go number 8 to Philly prior to Philly trading up. And so, I would be shocked if I think Dallas would be making a mistake if they take him at 4. That's just my personal opinion. I think they ought to fall back if they have a desire to draft him at that slot. You can look at Cleveland possibly taking him at 8. Once again, I can see the Giants possibly at 10, and I can see Chicago at the latest taking them at number 11 to replace Matt Forte. I think that's the latest he'll go in the draft at number 11. And
I think
Rob,
the value evaluation of the position. Is that what you're thinking of from that vantage point, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a slight reach to take him at 4, obviously. I think you could fall back to somewhere between 8 and 11 and possibly get him. 8 for sure. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't think any other team in the top 7 would take Elliott. I could be totally off, or we'll find out Thursday night, of course. But I think they could fall back a little bit. Reggie Ragland, those are some very good points JQ made about Ragland. There is some questions in that regard. I think he's a little bit safer bet on the team that plays a 3-4 defense. And I think a team like the Redskins, I have them going to Redskins at 21. They can use some interior help there. And you mentioned Houston. That's where I have Treadwell falling to, all the way down to number 22. Treadwell dropping down in Houston. But I personally think a lot of teams are making a mistake passing on him. But there's some teams that are concerned with his speed, but when you look at the way he uses his body and the size in his hands, and I think he'll be a real steal at 22, in my personal opinion. But that's why I have him slotted right now to go to Houston in that spot.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'm praying he slides to 24. Before I change subjects here, to one point that you made, I don't think the Falcons let Von Bell get past them in the second round to get to Cincinnati at 24. I'll be shocked at that because, I mean, William Moore is gone. I think he's a perfect replacement for Atlanta in that safety position. I would be surprised if he was on the board, they would let him go past. That's just me. And to kind of flip these real
what
fast.
What player?
You mean in the second round?
In the second round, Von Bell to get past Atlanta. And just like in the second round to get to Cincinnati. I would love to have him, but I don't know if Atlanta passes him up. I think that's where need meets value in the second round for Von Bell going to Atlanta. Based on just off of what you just talked about, you want a safety. I think Atlanta needs a safety. I think he would be perfect for you guys in the second round. I think we get a lot of kudos for taking him right there. I don't know. That's just me. I don't know what Dimitrov is going to do because he's done some crazy stuff before. So, you know, we'll see.
Nobody knows what he's going to do. That's why we're freaking out, man.
So,
well, you know,
let me flip on.
There's about 100 people doing mock drafts online, and all 100 of them are going to be wrong.
Right. Exactly.
We'll find out.
So to your point that Rob just picked up, and I want to throw it to you. I want to flip-flop these topics real fast. Jerry Jones saying the Cowboys not trade out a fourth pick. Jerry, that kind of feels to me like he's just trying to drum up interest in the fourth pick so he can exactly trade out of it.
Yeah, I totally agree because I think they've got a couple players that they're targeting. But, you know, this is the thing. There's a couple of players I think that the Cowboys could target. But let's say that, like we talked about earlier, if there's somebody that wants to kind of, like, help – not help the Cowboys, but there's a couple things that I think the Cowboys have from that vantage point. Like I said, you know – it's kind of tough because I think, and this is Andre, I think that Ezekiel Elliott would be a perfect pick, but maybe they don't want to take him that high, as Robert said. So, yeah, train down, it's open. Maybe there's somebody that another team loves, you know, if, I don't know, Dolphins or something like that, you know, like we talked about too, and they can, or even the Bears. There's a team, you know, that Jerry Jones can either get extra players and then he also get what he's talking about too. So I think that's exactly what he's trying to do. And we know that everyone's just kind of like, if you're talking, you're lying right about now, man, because
right. There's
all kinds of rumors out here, too. So this is going to be a very actually exciting draft, to say the least, for sure.
Oh, yeah, this is lying season in the NFL. We know that
already.
Yeah, every head coach, every general manager, every scout, they're all throwing smoke screens right now. Nobody's telling the truth.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. It's all empire. It's lying season, baby. All right.
And I even tell you this.
Good.
Yeah. Another trick that a lot of teams are using right now, they'll bring in players and have no interest in a player just to make another team think there's interest in a player. I mean, there's all kind of craziness that goes on this time of the year, and every team does it.
Absolutely. It's all smoke screens and lies. So to get back to the Eagles, and surprise, surprise, Sam Bradford wants to trade. And I can't necessarily be mad at him, but at the same time, it's like, hey, buddy, play a couple of years without getting hurt first and then demand the trade, you know. Just be cool. You're getting paid. Be cool. Mentoring. You have a good year. They're going to trade you somewhere anyway, especially because we figure they're probably going to end up taking Wentz because I hear that golf is the choice out in L.A., but it's still close.
Yep. Yep.
I throw it to you again here, Dre. I mean, is there anything to see here? Did we expect Bradford to say anything less? And, of course, the Eagles have to come out and say, no, you know, blew you, my boy. You know, they got to say that about Bradford, but I can't fault him for being mad about, you know, them trading up for so many picks. I mean, it's clear they're going to have to go get a quarterback with that.
Yeah, I mean, just because, you know, obviously this is a situation where the guy that brought him in, Chip Kelly, is no longer there. You know, so that's, you know, and who knows what Chip had told him at the time. And he's like, you know, you're my guy. And I got to give him credit. In the first part of the year, he did play pretty good and then obviously went a little downhill. That's a whole new conversation. But, you know, obviously I'm sure he felt Chip was in his corner. Now you got a whole new regime coming in. And the very first move they do is they just, you know, it's like I'm telling you one thing, but, you know, hey, you're pretty, but, oh, you know, she's kind of like, you know, winking at me over here, so I'm at least going to talk to her. So, you know, it's a situation where he feels a little betrayed, and, you know, right about now, I'm sure nobody expected him to kind of like demand this trade, but here we are, and it does have an interesting dynamic. So, you know, that's kind of where I think happened. You know, you had a situation where, old coach, new regime comes in. They're trying to definitely undo everything that Chip Kelly did. I mean, hell, they traded, you know, Dexter Jackson, one of the great young players. Now they're trying to get faster wide receivers in, you know. So apparently it's just been like, you know, Chip Kelly is like
Deshaun Jackson.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I was thinking Deshaun. I was thinking someone else. But they're trying to like rewipe everything off the thing. So anything Chip did, they're trying to like rectify it, man. But it's just been kind of like a interesting situation. They're trying to right the ship. So I'm curious to see what happens, man, because I'm sure they're going to get some takers. Maybe during the draft, that's why I said this is going to be a very interesting draft, fellas, because we have no idea what's going to happen as far as a couple of things. You said, JQ, that you heard of the word on the street is that Wentz is number one. I've heard that they like golf as far as L.A. He's a California guy. But, you know, nobody knows, man. You keep hearing kind of flip-flopping on both sides. And so Robert said it best. They brought in both. So we'll see what happens. But I think that for the Eagles to try all the way up there, they pretty much have an idea what's going to happen. So I do think it's going to be golf and then Wentz. But, you know, we don't know until that actually happens on draft day.
Right. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, when you look at this, most pro scouts believe that golf is probably more ready to start day one, even though Wentz has a lot of strong physical tools. And I think this is the Eagles' position on this. I think they're going into the season really believing that Bradford is going to be their starter, but Wentz will hopefully be their starter by year two or three. And I think that's what they're going into thinking here in this draft. But they're allocating a lot of money toward the quarterback position. Of course, with re-signing Bradford and the monies they gave Chase Daniel to be a backup position, and he's been a high first-round draft choice, you would have to think that you have to consider trading one of those guys, whether it be Chase or whether it be Bradford. You would have to think that you would want to go ahead and trade one of those players if you're the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's going to be really interesting and really intriguing to see what they decide to do. But I don't think they're going to trade Bradford. I think they're going to wait and see how things go through training camp before they even think about trading them.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, we got about 3 minutes left just to throw that on there. But most of that money they have tied up into Daniel and Sam Bradford is mostly this year. So if they're talking about draining a rookie QB and getting him on the rookie scale, and then you put all your money right now in Bradford, you know, as a bridge year, they can kind of get from underneath that in year two. So it's not over both years. It's really front-loaded to this year. So they have a way to get around that moving forward. Just want to throw that log onto the fire. We had about 2.5 minutes here. I'm going to let Rob talk about the Dolphins trying to trade up and set us up for the OT portion, and I'm going to get your thoughts on it too there, Dre. So good idea, bad idea, trying to trade up for Elliott or Miles Jack. Jack Sneed worries me a little bit, and taking a running back that I have worries me a little bit unless he's named Adrian Peterson.
I know we're just talking about Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, the Dolphins, I forgot to mention that too. They're definitely a team that's interested in possibly moving up. I think if Jack somehow starts getting down to that 8, 9, 10 range, the Dolphins may be willing to move up at that price to pull a trigger on him. And it's a possibility. You know, there are some teams that are concerned about that injury and, you know, whether or not he's going to clear medically. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. I have him at the moment, I believe, going number 6 to the Ravens, going through these notes here. Yeah, at number 6. To the Baltimore Ravens is where I have him falling at the moment. But if he can somehow get to that 8 to 10 range, I think Miami would be willing to pay that price for either him or Ezekiel Elliott if they can find a willing trade partner somewhere in that realm. So that's just something to watch for the draft. But I guess we better get our listeners ready for the show on next week. Next week we'll be on the air on Wednesday night. Once again, it'll be Wednesday night, May 4th. It'll be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central for our friends in California. That will be 8 p.m. So we look forward to recapping the NFL draft on next week, as well as we'll keep you abreast of all the latest and greatest of what's happening in the NBA playoffs as well. So you don't want to miss our show next week. Right now, we're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion live, but if you all will click on the same link, we have more NBA, maybe a little baseball, and some more NFL we're going to cover here in our OT portion. So you definitely want to click on this link on tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Talk to them, Dre. Tell them goodbye, then. Give me your thoughts here on Elliott and Jack.
I got a move for every move you make. Woo! How you end it?
Go for it, bro.
Of course, end it with a little Prince, man. Little Prince.
Hey, I thought about Prince too, man. We were talking about Prince all night, man. Yeah, it's all good.
Go ahead, give me your thoughts on Dolphins.
Just like I said, it's interesting for the Dolphins because I feel like they're in better hands now. Obviously, you got the quarterback. They're making some rectifications with their wide receivers. And I think that is kind of a missing piece, gentlemen, adding an Ezekiel Elliott. This guy is probably going to come in and instant start, going to be a dynamic player for that offense, man. So if you want a player, man, I think you got to go all in, man. So this is the guy. I'm not talking about all in like the Saints, but at least you go in and you get the guy that you want, and then, you know, everything else is going to be gravy. The second conversation, I guess, what was
you trying to say, man?
We were talking about Miles Jack. I wasn't talking junk. I'm just saying, if you know, at least if you do something, do it with conviction. It wasn't a slight or anything like that. It was like you got to go all in, man. So that was kind of me. Miles Jack, I kind of have two different opinions because I was reading something, and it's interesting. Some teams really believe in if you are a fan of somebody, if you've been playing for 5 years or whatever, that's a good investment. So that's all I can say. If you think he's worth it, you know, go for it. 5 years, whatever. He's not going to have a 10-year career, but if he's, you know, in for that, then, you know, some teams think that's a good investment.
And I would agree. I think I would, you know, just a little bit on there. I think I may trade up for Elliott because I think he may be one of those transcendent talents at running back. I don't know if I would trade up for Jack because of the issues. But if I have that kind of concern about how long you're going to play, I don't know if I would trade up for him. I would hope that maybe those injuries push him down to me and I may consider taking him there. We're only costing one pick as opposed to multiple picks. But Elliott, I can see. I think that offense, you know, if Tannehill is going to be the guy, they're surrounding him with wide receivers now. He's got a good tight end. Mm-hmm. You put Elliott in that backfield, he no longer has any excuses not to take the next step. So I can see that. So Elliott, yes. To me, Jack, no. I'm going to stay here with you, Dre. Tiger Woods, coming out of the shadows, you know, not just hitting, you know, simulations anymore, is registering for the U.S. Open, but that doesn't mean he's actually going to play. Big deal, no deal, somewhere in between?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, man, because obviously we all know the draw that Tiger has, and, you know, his back was a lot worse than everyone anticipated, and I think that this is a great move for him. You know, it's not like – it's not the Masters, clearly, but it's definitely good in a tournament for him to kind of test out, see where he is against the field, and I think it's a big deal. Good move.
What about you, Robert? Sorry.
Yes, I kind of agree. And I think if he's registering, I think he's going all in. Speaking of all in, I think he's going all in for the U.S. Open. And I think he's going to do everything he possibly can. He has not played in any tournament since the surgery. And so I think this is good for golf. It's going to add some more publicity to the tournament, the U.S. Open. Anytime Tiger is in it, of course, it helps with TV ratings. And so it's definitely a good for golf. I just wonder if his game is going to ever get back to where it once was. I hope it does. So it'll be really interesting to see if he can kind of overcome a lot of his injuries over the past few years and a lot of changes in the swing coaches and things of that nature to help him to possibly get back on top. We shall see. I mean, it was just 8 years ago, I think, since the last time he won his last major. And I think we all thought he was going to surpass Jack Nicklaus at the most majors. And so we're just waiting to see if that's going to ever take place. I think Jack Nicklaus was 46 when he won his last major. I think Tiger is at 40. So, I mean, so maybe he still has a chance. We'll see.
So I say I'm going to have to be the center here. He had to register just for the hopes of even playing. I think this is no deal until we see Tiger Woods get back on the golf course and be 70% of Tiger Woods where you feel like he can compete. Because you got to feel right now that golf has passed him by. You're talking about Jason Day. You're talking about Rory McIlroy. You're talking about Jordan Spieth. Even with his hiccup at Augusta this year, you know, he still had to lead for a long time in the, over those 4 days. I just, you know, I want him to get back, but I think that 18 is safe. Until I see him come back and play and not have to withdraw week in and week out, then it'll be a big deal. Right now, this is just setting up the hopes that he can maybe play because he has to register and even have the opportunity to play. He just can't say, yeah, I'm here. So I'm going to say no deal. That's just where he is right now, and I hate it, but that's just the God's honest truth. So let's shift here a little bit and go to a little NBA. And, you know, me and Rob and Dre have been talking about this, and I think, you know, the Spurs and the Cavaliers probably were in the locker room dabbing and doing the running man challenge and all other kind of levels of foolishness when when they saw Curry slip on the court and sprain his MCL, because that now opens the door wide open for those other legit contenders. And those are the only ones I think are legit contenders to win in San Antonio and Cleveland. Maybe the Clippers and maybe the Thunder, but I don't really trust either one of them either. So, Dre, you know, I know it's going to have an effect. And they say in 2 weeks at the minimum he'll be, you know, reevaluated. What are your thoughts on how the Warriors overcome this adversity?
First and foremost, I got to say it's a conspiracy theory because the Houston Rockets, they left the floor right there so he can slip so that Cleveland can win, man. That's kind of my thought, man, you know. So, you know, I'm going to come out the gate just like that, man, because they want Cleveland to win, man, straight up, man. So there you go. No, seriously.
Ray has conspiracy theories against the NBA, and I hate Roger Goodell.
But no, I do think that it's a pretty big deal. Now, granted, they really kind of blew the Rockets out unexpectedly, on the last game, because they have a really true team concept, and they've been able to survive without Curry for short stretches. I'm not sure if they can go as far without a healthy Curry, so I definitely think it does put a chink in their armor. Somebody's got to step up. You know, obviously you've had Draymond do his thing and a lot of other players. You know, you definitely got to have Klay Thompson. So it's a situation where I'm kind of like this, JQ. I think it can really, if somebody else can step up, this is a key opportunity. And we don't know right now. You know, Steph Curry, you'd be number one, hard-pressed to think that they would kind of blow through that. I mean, not without some challenges, obviously. But, you know, somebody else is going to step up clearly for the Warriors to kind of, like, take that title. But, you know, I don't know. I think NBA wants LeBron, but that's just me.
Okay. Yeah, it's got to be Draymond and Clay. And let me get your thoughts on that too, Rob, and talk about with Doc Rivers with his comparison to the Celtics losing to the Lakers. And I'll let you back in on the Dre.
Well, yeah, I tell you what, if the Clippers, you know, Portland is leading this game right now, and if this stays where it's heading, we're looking at a tie series of two games apiece. If you're the Clippers, you want to hurry up and get that next series started like ASAP. And, I mean, you want to close out these Trailblazers to try to get as many games as possible against many games as possible against the Warriors without Steph Curry. And the Clippers are lollygagging here. And, like I said, the Blazers are leading him, trying to get an updated score. I think the last score I saw, the Blazers was up by 8 here in the second quarter. Yeah, 34-26. So we're looking at an 8-point game. Obviously, a lot of time left in this game. But if you're the Clippers, you got to close this series out quickly. But you want that game one to be this coming weekend, and get those games started as quickly as possible. And as JQ mentioned in our text messages, the Clippers will have a chance to win that series. Obviously, the Warriors are going to still beat the Rockets without. I mean, the Rockets don't play any defense. James Harden has guarded the guy all season. Yeah. So, I mean, this team, they're going fishing. They got the one game. But the Clippers, yeah, you got to get this series started. And I tell you what, the Spurs-Thunder series to me is going to be real interesting. Even though the Spurs, record-wise, is about 8 to 10 games better than the Thunder, the Thunder is just one of those teams that just match up well with the Spurs. And I'm not ready to say the Spurs will even eliminate them. But I do think the Spurs will have a better chance of beating the Cavs than the Thunder would. That's another thing. The Thunder just don't seem to match up well with the Cavs for whatever reason. So, Curry, I mean, they got to somehow hold serve with them and the Clippers and at least try to get to a game 6 or 7 till he comes back. And if the Warriors can hold on, I think they'll still come back and win it. But that's tough. That's a real big blow. They definitely won't be able to beat the Spurs, Thunder, or the Cavs without Curry.
Yeah, very true. So I'm just fine. I didn't hear what Doc Rivers said. Go ahead and give us a little bit piece of that. We got about 6 minutes before they cut us off.
Well, obviously, you probably remember the series back in 2010.
Hey, I didn't ask all that. I didn't ask all that. I just asked the comments.
Well, you got to know the series in order to understand the comments.
Yeah, I know. I'm messing with you.
Well, Doc Rivers, of course, you know, he attributes a similarity to the Steph Curry injury to when the Celtics lost Kendrick Perkins. Now, how you compare Kendrick Perkins and Steph Curry is one thing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even a Lakers fan, but, I mean, come on, Steph Curry, Kendrick Perkins. Now, Kendrick Perkins
that.
At that time was a very intriguing part of that Celtics team, and he was a big blow. When he was playing in that series, they were leading the series over the Lakers. So, I mean, he did play a small part in that series. And he also attributed, you know, talked about Kevin Garnett being hurt in the 2009 playoffs, and they got eliminated kind of early that season. So injuries are part of the game. I'm not a Warriors fan, but I'm not at all happy that Steph Curry is hurt. You want to see teams play with their best players all the time, and as a sports fan, you want to see teams play with their best players. But it's definitely a part of the game. We saw the Cavs last year playing in the finals without Kevin Love and without Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can make a case that Cavs might have had a better chance or would have won that series if those plays, but we'll never know. And so it's another one of these things where this is just now some adversity now that the Warriors have to go through. They're not the first team to have to go through this in the playoffs.
Yeah, stop it, Kendrick Perkins. Go ahead, Dre.
I have nothing. I agree with you. Just stop it, man. Just it is what it is. We got to leave that one alone. I do got to say really quickly, though, the Blazers, that backcourt is pretty amazing, guys. So we're seeing something special.
Yeah.
They can fit some pieces, man. McCollum and Lillard, that is going to be a dynamic backcourt in the future, man. So I just see that. They may be kind of challenging the Warriors in the future, man. That's just a great, great backcourt, guys. That's my 2 cents on that.
Slow down. So I don't know if Rob was just doing this so to get my Agent Orange up, but I'm not quite sure if this is a real question. There is no mistake in firing Byron Scott. There is no mistaking that. I think you can get anything by the way, a post outside of Derek Fisher to come coach that team that will make it a better improvement. I mean, that's just my 2 cents. I'm going to let you go with it, Dre, and then Rob, you can follow on. But, yeah, zero mistake. I would go negative 100%.
Go
ahead,
Dre. You going to the X-Laker like
that,
JQ?
Hey, man, I love what he did for Showtime. But on the bench, he's supposed to be the assistant at best. And might be to be the assistant trainer and not be assistant coach because that's not going to do it.
Oh, man. I can see Robert laughing as he's writing this. That's what last night. He's like,
yeah, but right.
Oh, hi, David, smiling. I'm just going to say word on the street, JQ, is that Luke Walton, Jeff Van Gundy are kind of the lead runners. I'm sure Robert will talk about that as well, man. I'm not going to even mention Mike D'Antoni. I know I make the jokes about that. But that's kind of what we
did.
Kind of curious that you would like Derek Fisher, man. So, you know, you want to do the
triangle.
No, I didn't. You want to go or
Derek
what?
Fisher. No. You've been telling me. I say anybody with a post not named Derek Fisher. No, don't make sure we don't put that in the blog sphere. I am not advocating for Derek Fisher. No, sir.
He's a Laker fan, America. See how he's treating y'all ex-Lakers?
You see the proof is in the pudding. What is they records as head coaches?
Well, you know, don't be surprised, though. The Lakers are very interested in talking to quite a few college coaches here, too. Kevin Ollie is going to, you know, probably get an interview here if he's interested. You know, John Calipari mm-hmm. comes up on these conversations every year. I don't see him leaving Kentucky, though. And even Roy Williams, his name has been thrown out there as well. And it's interesting to see what comes out of this investigation at Carolina, too. And so that's some talk as well. I mean, Roy Williams runs an up-tempo style in college, you know. So there'll be some intriguing candidates from the college level that they also. But obviously, you have to talk to Luke Walton, although I believe, you know, a lot of what Golden State did was because of the players. And, you know, we talk about Steph Curry's injuries, but that's a loaded roster Golden State has. And when you look at guys like Maurice Bates coming off the bench, knocking down threes, Iguodala, Sean Livingston. I mean, that's a loaded roster that team has. And I mean, I'm sure Luke Walton was able to do some of that, but, you know, you got to have the what's the old saying? You got to have the Joes to go with the X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Golden State have. They have the players. So, I still wonder how good of a coach Luke Walton is.
I totally agree. We're getting here short on time, so I want to make sure that I want to applaud the Twins batters before we get this guy out of here using the Prince of the Walk-Up music. Very classy move. Very, very classy move.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And download the podcast. Listen to us next week. We'll be back on Wednesday. Say goodnight to them, fellas. As always, Great show.
Good night, people. Join us next Wednesday night.
Good night, people. Hopefully we'll talk about we'll get the topic about Scott Brooks going back to coach the Washington Wizards, man. I think it's pretty big, man.